Good day, and welcome to the Fondul Proprietatea 2020 results conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Marius Dan. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and welcome everyone to our conference call to discuss the 2020 annual results and the January 2021 net asset value developments of Fondul Proprietatea. Johan Meyer, Chief Executive Officer and Portfolio Manager, Cătălin Cadaru, Head of Financial Reporting, and myself are pleased to host today's call. The 2020 annual results report can be found on the fund's website in the investor relations section, and the presentation that we will be discussing was sent out to you earlier today. The slides are also available on our website at www.fondulproprietatea.ro in the results presentation section. After the presentation, we will have a 30-minute Q&A session. As a reminder, the conference call is being recorded, and the recording will be available on the fund's website after the call. That being the agenda, I now turn to Johan to start off with the presentation.
Thanks, Marius, and good afternoon, good morning to everyone, depending from where you're joining. I'd like to start with slide two of the presentation, where we highlight the key facts about the fund. At the end of January, the fund's NAV was RON 10.3 billion, just shy of $2.6 billion, and the NAV per share was RON 1.72 per share. On the right-hand side, you can see the evolution of the fund's adjusted share price and the discount since the fund's listing in January 2011. We are very happy to see the strong performance registered by the fund's share price in the second part of the year, following the rebound of global stock markets, which led to a historical high level of the share price of RON 1.45 per share on 30 December last year, and this was also the lowest discount to NAV of 9.71% on the same day. This positive trend continued in 2021, with both the share price as well as the GDRs continuing to appreciate and register new historic highs. As at yesterday's closing, the discount for the share price was just over 6%, and for the GDRs was 7.7%. For FY 2020, we submitted for shareholders' approval in the 28th April annual shareholders' meeting a cash distribution of $0.072 per share, which would represent, based on yesterday's closing price, a dividend yield of 4.5%. I will further elaborate on this later in the presentation. Moving on to slide three, we present the changes in the valuations of the unlisted companies, which were reflected in the 29 December NAV report compared to the previous values as at 30 September 2020. Valuation updates in accordance with the international valuation standards were prepared for 19 unlisted holdings with the assistance of the independent valuators KPMG Advisory and Darian DRS, and the overall impact was a 4.8% increase of the 29 December NAV. In other words, RON 476 million, mostly driven by the increase in the valuation of Hidroelectrica, ENGIE, and the Enel supply and distribution companies. Now, moving on to slide four, we show a summary of the NAV, the share price, and the GDR performance since 2011, and the evolution of the fund's average annual discount since its listing on the Bucharest Stock Exchange. The NAV total return in 2020 was 2.2%. Total return for the local shares was 37.8%, while the total return for the GDRs was 48.5%. Year to date, the NAV total return is up 1.4%, with a total return for local shares of 4.1% and 8.2% for the GDRs. Now, moving on to slide five and six, we show the contributors to the fund's NAV performance in the fourth quarter and for the full year of 2020. The top performers in the fourth quarter were the unlisted, Hidroelectrica, ENGIE, and Enel companies, following the update of the valuation reports, and the listed companies, OMV, Petrom, and Romgaz. Following the update of the independent valuation reports, Bucharest Airport, Salrom, Zirom, and Timișoara Airport are the quarter's bottom performers, but overall performance for the NAV was positive, just shy of $0.11 per share. For the entire year, the most significant performer was Hidroelectrica, followed by Nuclearelectrica, ENGIE, and Enel. The main detractors for the period were OMV, Petrom, and Bucharest Airport, while the overall performance for the year was a slight negative, just below $0.04 per share on a NAV basis. The fund will continue to closely monitor the evolution of the financial markets and that of specific industries the unlisted holdings operate in for each NAV reporting date, and if necessary, an update of the multiples analysis will be prepared, and the valuation of the unlisted holdings will be updated accordingly. In the next section, we would like to give an update on the fund's portfolio. On slide 8, we show the portfolio structure as of the end of January. So 73% in unlisted companies, 18% in listed equities, and 9% in net cash and receivables. Net cash position as of the end of January was $238 million. Moving on to slide 9, we show the listed versus unlisted split of the fund's portfolio as of 31 December 2020. The largest listing company remains only Petrom, while Hidroelectrica remains the largest holding. I would like to highlight that we also published today the fund's detailed statement of investments as of 31 December 2020, which is available on the fund's website in the investments section. On slide 10, we present the top 10 portfolio companies as at the end of January 21, representing over 88% of the fund's NAV, while Hidroelectrica, OMV Petrom and Bucharest Airports together represent 71% of the fund's NAV. On slide 11, we show a summary of the 2020 preliminary financial results for some of the main portfolio companies. As expected, we see a negative impact of the COVID-19 pandemic reflected in the financials for some of the companies, and I will elaborate more on the main holdings in the following slides. On slide 12, we provide some updates on Hidroelectrica. According to company's management, the preliminary figures for 2020 show that turnover was slightly down, almost 9% year-on-year. EBITDA was down 8% year-on-year, operating profit down just shy of 15%. However, net profit is expected to increase by almost 5% to around 1.45 billion RON. Electricity sold in 2020 was 16 terawatt-hours, almost flat compared to 2019, out of which electricity sold out of its own production reached 14.6 terawatt-hours compared to 14.8 terawatt-hours in 2019. Over the period, the average realized selling price was down 6.6% year-on-year to 214.1 RON per megawatt-hour. During the year, Hidroelectrica sold on the regulated market 3.15 terawatt-hours of electricity compared to 1.64 terawatt-hours sold in the previous year at an average price of 109.45 RON per megawatt-hour, down 3% year-on-year. On the competitive market, the average realized price in 2020 was 238.6 RON per megawatt-hour, a decrease of 1.6% year-on-year. The company's net cash position was just close to 2.1 billion RON as at the end of December 2020. Moving on to slide 13, we present the main updates on OMV Petrom, the fund's second largest holding. Sales to external customers decreased by 23% compared to the previous year due to low oil prices, but it was supported by higher volumes of natural gas. The operating result was 65% lower due to the large drop in upstream income, again, as a result of low oil and gas price environment and lower hydrocarbon sales. According to the management, the outlook for 2021, there's an average Brent oil price of $50 to $55 per barrel, refining margins higher than $4 per barrel, production expected to decline around 5% from 145,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day in 2020. And CapEx is expected to remain around 2.9 billion RON, slightly down from 3 billion in 2020. Most important point, however, is that the dividend is maintained for the 2020 financial year. Moving on to the next slide, slide 14, we show some information on Bucharest Airports. This is obviously a company that is impacted severely by the restrictions imposed by the COVID-19 pandemic. Accordingly, the preliminary 2020 results point to a net loss of 120 million RON. Traffic was down 70% last year compared to 4.5 million passengers, and the number of aircraft movements also halved compared to 2019. According to the revised budget approved in September 2020, The management is expecting the recovery to start in 21 with an increase in passenger traffic to 7.6 million and a gross profit of 15.6 million RON, followed by a stronger improvement in 2022, 11.2 million passengers and 207 million RON in gross profit. Moving on to slide 15, we present an update on Constanța Port. According to the preliminary results, operating revenues were up year-on-year by 4.5% to 386 million RON, although traffic declined by 9.3% year-on-year to 60.4 million tons. The reduction in traffic being driven mainly by crude oil and petroleum products, which registered a decline of 18.5% year-on-year to 11.7 million tons. The preliminary net profit for the year stands at 146 million RON, an increase of 38% year-on-year. The boost in profitability was supported by significantly lower provisions, with the final level to be established only in the audited financial statements when that becomes available. Before handing over to Marius, I've got a couple of additional comments that I'd like to make. As I said earlier in my comments, as many of you may have seen, that we recently celebrated the 10-year anniversary of the listing of Fondul Proprietate on the Bucharest Stock Exchange. We've seen the share price reach record highs and the discount to NAV at record lows. This is testament to the continued hard work and commitment and the resilience of the entire Franklin Templeton team in Bucharest. And I'd like to extend my sincere gratitude to my colleagues for making these achievements possible. Again, continuing to set an example, Fondul Proprietate today was the first listed entity to publish its audited annual report and also the first to publish the same in a new digital format. Well done to Cătălin Cădaru and his team and everyone that contributed to getting the report prepared. Also, I would like to congratulate Marius Dan, Călin Metes, and Daniel Nathalie for their recently announced promotions. Marius to Deputy CEO, Călin to Deputy CEO and Portfolio Manager, and Daniel to Deputy Portfolio Manager. These promotions are well-deserved recognition of their contribution to the success of Fondul over the past 10-plus years, sometimes under very challenging circumstances. With that, I will hand over to Marius. Marius, please.
Thanks, Johan. Moving into the corporate action section on slide 17, we outlined the fund's distribution since we started managing the fund. For 2021, we included the estimated amount, which was proposed to be distributed as a gross cash distribution of RON 0.072 per share, which will be approved by shareholders on the 28th of April 2021 annual shareholder meeting. This brings the total distributions that we have made since 2010 to 14.3 billion RON, which is approximately $3.8 billion. Moving to slide 18, we outline the details of the fund's latest buyback programs. In 2020, during the 11th buyback program, we were able to complete the full authorization received from the fund shareholders and managed to repurchase 798 million shares, which will be canceled. For the current 12th buyback program, the daily buyback started in the beginning of the year. And as of 19th of February, we repurchased 55.5 million shares at an average price of RON 1.5081 per share. We are able to repurchase a maximum of 800 million shares in this current buyback program throughout the entire year. And given the fund's cash position of almost $260 million, we have the possibility to accelerate the share buybacks through a tender offer as well. On the next slide, slide 19, we outline our gross cash distribution proposal for FY 2020 of RON 0.072 per share. Now, given that the fund incurred an accounting loss of 103 million RON for 2020, our ability to distribute an annual dividend is restricted as there is no distributable profit for the year. However, we strongly believe in the importance of ensuring that our shareholders receive an annual cash distribution, And taking that into account, the distributable amounts and the need to maintain additional reserves to cover the losses from the future buyback cancellation, the other ongoing discount control mechanism measures, including the any daily buybacks or tender offers, and the estimated available cash, our proposal is to distribute this level of 0.072 per share, which is fully in line with the annual cash distribution policy. The main dates related to the proposed distribution are 27th of May as the ex-date, 28th of May 2021 as the registration date, and payment will start on the 22nd of June 2021. Moving to the next slide, on slide 20, we show a summary of the total dividend income received from the portfolio companies in the last 8 years. The gross cash distribution proposed to shareholders for 2020 has a yield of 4.51% based on yesterday's closing share price. On the following slides, 21 to 24, we present the main points on the agenda of the shareholder meeting to be held on the 24th of March, as well as the annual shareholder meeting on the 28th of April. On slide 21, we show the agenda of the 24th March shareholder meeting, where we invite shareholders to vote on the appointment of two board of nominees members. The list of candidates as of yesterday, which was the deadline to submit proposal, includes Mr. Omer Tatik for the vacant seat following the expiration of the mandate of Piotr Rimashevsky, and Nick Paris and Florian Montano for the vacant seat of following the expiration of the mandate of Julian Healy. Given the current pandemic context, in order to respect the shareholders' rights to information, the fund manager will organize a video conference presenting the latest updates on the fund, and we will be able to answer any questions that shareholders have. Also, the candidates for the position of the member of the Board of Nominees will be able to participate in the video conference and will be able to answer questions from the shareholders. Further details on the video conference will be disseminated to the market through a current report. On the following slides, 22 to 24, we include the main points of on the agenda of the annual shareholder meeting for the 28th of April, which includes several changes to the fund's Constitutive Act, the approval of the decrease of the subscribed share capital from 3.7 billion to 3.3 billion RON following the cancellation of the shares acquired in 2020, the presentation of the performance report for 2020, as well as the Board of Nominees review report, the approval of the continuation of the current mandate of Franklin Templeton, the approval of the annual activity report of the sole director of the fund for 2020, as well as the approval to cover negative reserves incurred in 2020 from the 10th buyback program, the approval to cover the accounting costs and the accounting loss incurred in 2020, as well as the approval to set up a reserve to cover the negative reserves estimated to arise from the cancellation of shares acquired in 2020 from the 11th buyback program, the cross special dividend mentioned before, the appointment of Ernst & Young as the financial auditor of Fondo Proprietatea, starting with 1st of July 2022 until end of August 2025, the approval of the remuneration policy of Fondo Proprietatea, as well as the ex-dates, registration dates, and the payment date mentioned before. Now, turning to the fund's 2020 financial results, which are included on slides 26 and 27, I would like to invite Cătălin Cadaru, Head of Financial Reporting, to comment.
Thank you, Marius, and thank you, Johan. In terms of the balance sheet development, there are two main points to highlight. One is the significant increase in cash and cash equivalents that was driven by the disposal of OMV Petrom and Nuclear during the 2020 financial year. And the second point to mention is the decrease of the portfolio. And this had three main factors. On one side, it was the disposals mentioned earlier. And on the second factor was the revaluation of the unlisted holdings, where, as you saw, Bucharest Airport has the largest decrease during this pandemic situation. The third factor is the decrease of the share price of OMV Petrom during the year, which was almost 19% compared to the end of the previous financial period. In terms of the P&L developments, as it was mentioned, Fondul closed 2020 with an audited accounting loss of approximately RON 103 million. And the main contributor to this was the change in fair value coming from the portfolio. But as you can see on this slide, a significant part of this was offsetted by the dividend income that includes both regular annual dividends from portfolio companies and also a special dividend such as the one from distribution companies and Hidroelectrica during 2020. Thank you, Marius.
Thank you, Cătălin. Thank you. At this point, we would like to open it up for any questions that you may have.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question at this time, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Again, it is star 1 to ask a question. There are currently no questions in the queue, and as a reminder, it is star 1 to ask a question, and please make sure the mute function on your phone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. So our first question comes from Juliana Ciopraga from Wood & Company.
Hi, hello, and thank you for the presentation. Regarding the law canceling the ban on listings, can you give us any sort of update there? What is happening with the law in the parliament?
Marius, do you have any more recent updates?
Thanks, Juliana, for the question. The law which bans privatizations is to be amended and repealed in the parliament. The government already approved 2 weeks ago in a government meeting the legislation that is supposed to go to the parliament. This has been already registered in the Senate, and we are now waiting for the first committee hearings and their recommendations. And afterwards, a vote in the Senate and then in the Chamber of Deputies. So our base scenario is that this law should be canceled by the end of March, and all the approvals should be taken in the Parliament, given that the governing coalition has a majority control over the Parliament, and they are fully supportive of moving forward with the IPO of Hidroelectrica and a few other state-owned companies. So as we will have updates from the Senate and from the Chamber of Deputies, we will be able to discuss it in more details with shareholders.
And one more regarding the result of Hidroelectrica, I'm noticing that depreciation increased to around 1 billion. Can you explain, was there something driving up depreciation in 2020?
Juliana, no, nothing noteworthy. It's a function of the historic investments and the provisions. But we can get back to you with more details if that's required. But there's nothing unusual in that.
But there could be some provisions reflected, yes.
Yeah, so historically over the past couple of years there have been some provisions, so that could be the case. But we heard Mr. Bardia saying on today's Data Power Summit what his expectations of the net profit was, and this is very much in line of the numbers that we communicated today.
Now move to our next question from Dipinder Bhatia from Bayard Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Congratulations on your 10 years and what a spectacular journey. So thanks for all the value creation here. A couple of questions on Hidroelectrica, just on the operational side. I'm presuming that as in previous years, the heavy cash balance that the company had at the end of December 2020 may come up for a special dividend. So that's just an aside question. And moving to the operations itself, going into 2021, I'm just curious to know, just to confirm sort of that there is currently no more of a regulated mix in the total volume to be sold. And then can you give me just some general idea of where competitive rates currently are? I know it clocked about 240 per megawatt hour last year. Just where are we right now in rates and how does the trend look? Thank you very much.
Hi, Deepinder. It's the cash balance was the first question. Yes, so a significant portion of that cash balance we expect to be used in the allocation of the annual dividend. So in previous years, the payout ratio has been around 90%. So we expect the dividend, the regular dividend payment, to be around the same level as it was last year. Of course, given the highly cash generative nature of the business, as well as the existing cash balance, we believe that there is ample room for a potential special dividend at some point during the year. And that's certainly something that we'll discuss with the majority shareholder and with the company on an ongoing basis. But at the moment, there is no certainty on that. But again, as the company prepares for a listing, we believe that the balance sheet should be as efficient as possible. So we would like to see as much of that cash make its way to shareholders as is feasible. Moving on to the competitive market, Marius, could you comment on that, please?
Yes, thanks, Johan. Hi, Deepinder. On the for 2021, given that the market has been fully liberalized starting at the beginning of January, the company doesn't have to deliver any quantity on this market at a below market price. So the delta between the average market price and the price that they were forced to sell on the regulated market, and this difference was around 60+%, this will be captured by Hidroelectrica and should be reflected in stronger net results for this year as well. And the second part of your question related to market prices for electricity in Romania, there are the same two dynamics that continue to drive power prices in the country. One, of course, is the liberalization. So there is, significant more demand for power on the free market, as well as the continued increase in CO2 certificate pricing. So what we've seen in January, as well as at the beginning of February, due to significantly lower temperatures compared to the winter, the previous winter, we've seen a surge in power pricing. And what we also know from the company is that for the forward contracts, they have been able to capture around the 30% increase in pricing compared to the previous year. So all in all, this gives us reason for optimism for the financial results of Hidroelectrica. Of course, assuming that production will be in line with the average hydrological year, which is 16 terawatt hours.
Understood. Thank you very much. That's very helpful and looks pretty positive. If I could just slip in another quick question on Airport Bucharest, and then I'll come back into line here, we're seeing the numbers sort of stabilizing at the minus 70-ish percent on the month-on-month basis, YOY calculated. And, you know, of course, it's sticky on the way back to normalcy, but what are we hearing from management in terms of, you know, the trajectory to normalcy? When will that be, and what will the new normal be? Just any medium-term visibility that management is providing at this stage?
It's very much up in the air at the moment. So yes, there was a revised budget that was published in September 2020. But as I'm sure we can all appreciate, it depends on what happens with the vaccination, the desire of people to start traveling again, and what the capacity and that utilization rate is going to be. So yeah, it's very, very difficult to make any accurate predictions on what the numbers are going to be in 21 and even probably going into 22. We are seeing a good level of vaccinations in Romania, but we've seen, as mentioned in the comments, a significant reduction on the number of flights and the number of routes. So we hope that will pick up again, especially as other markets start opening up again. I think one of the key routes there is the London one, where the capacity is significantly below where it was in 2019. What I can say, however, is we have a new government. We've got a new minister in the transport ministry, and we see very positive changes in terms of addressing deficiency in the supervisory boards and the management teams. So strengthening up those bodies, finally starting to take note of the corporate governance legislation. Hopefully we expect very soon that the company will be in a position where they will have professional management and independent supervisory boards in place to develop the future plans of the company. So I think that's a very positive development.
Thank you very much.
Sorry for not being pinned down on a number, but it's, as I'm sure you can appreciate, it's very difficult at the moment.
Understood. This industry is totally in the eye of the storm at the moment, so it'll take some time. Thank you very much. Good luck for the rest of the year and beyond.
Many thanks. Appreciate that.
There are currently no further questions over the phone.
We have a couple of questions. Go ahead, Johan.
Yeah, thanks, Marius. We've received a couple of questions from the slide presentation. So there's one: if the law is cancelled, what is the time frame for Hydro listing? I'm assuming this is the law referring to the moratorium on listing of state-owned companies. So we continue to believe that a listing is feasible within a 12-month period of the cancellation of the law. End of this year or first quarter of next year, I think is a realistic goal if things continue to progress as we are seeing at the moment. One of the key decisions in terms of the appointment of the equity advisor and the legal advisor has of course already been done. And as soon as the legislation is changed, they can actively start working in terms of advising the company for the next steps on the path to an IPO. I think what has been missing up until now has been the commitment from the various stakeholders in the process, the shareholders as well as the managers, at once to get the company listed. We know that the managers have been keen on doing it. We have the commitment from the Ministry of Energy as well. And of course, we've always been pushing for it. So I think the current environment is very conducive to taking advantage of getting the company listed. So hopefully, beginning of next year, we'll be discussing a Hydro listing.
And on the same note for Hydroelectrica, we also have a question as to why was Hydro's net profit higher compared to the previous year, and given that the turnover was lower, the EBITDA was lower due to the fact that they had to deliver a quite a significantly higher quantity on the regulated market in 2020. The main reason for the 5% increase in the net profitability of the company was a lower level of provision for the investments for the historical investments which were canceled. We were also optimistic that the company will maintain the same payout ratio, so that should translate in a slightly higher dividend income for the fund in 2021, which would be paid out to our shareholders in 2022. Go ahead.
There was an additional question on the level of dividend compared to the level of cash. Kathleen, I'll ask you here to just explain the impact of the cash distribution policy, and then you can talk about the magnitude of the dividend compared to the cash. Kathleen, please.
Yes. So the cash distribution policy of the fund includes some principles on how to determine an annual dividend, and that can be paid either from annual profits or from the retained earnings. And basically, these principles are aligned with the cash, which means that they take into consideration only elements that are realized in cash, such as dividends from the portfolio companies, operating expenses, and taxation. This policy does not include any fair value changes, which are mainly the ones unrealized in cash, but that have also a significant impact on the results of the fund. So by taking this into consideration, this is why we have the situation at the end of 2020, where basically from accounting perspective, Fondo is in a loss position because of these fair value changes had a bigger impact on the results, while the cash position is quite strong and is the result of the dividends coming from the companies and also the disposals in the period.
Thank you, Cătălin. And we've received another question on slide assist. At such a significant reduction in the discount to NAV, congratulations for that. What are the key levers to pull to create value now? And of course, we as managers were very happy to see the discount coming in. We've been working very hard at it, and it's good to see that the market is recognizing these efforts. Going forward, we think there's significant value to be created, and the biggest catalyst should be the IPO of Hydroelectrica. We're very glad to see the types of valuations at which some of the listed peers trade, and the significant run-ups that we've seen in the share prices of Verbund, for instance, in Austria, which we believe is one of the closest peer for Hydroelectrica, which is now trading at 22 times EV to EBITDA. We think that the IPO of Hydroelectrica and getting a market valuation on the asset should be a significant driver of the fund's NAV and ultimately the share price. Secondly, of course, the what we are seeing in the commodities markets, it gives us reason for optimism that the share price of Petrom hopefully will reflect that as well. We are also watching very closely the potential inclusion of the shares of OMV Petrom in the MSCI Emerging Markets Index, given that from a liquidity perspective, from a float perspective, the company should be able to meet this criteria. And then moving down in the largest assets in the portfolio for the Bucharest Airport, of course, the main driver for our NAV should be the recovery, which we hope will start this year and strengthen in 2022, which ultimately should lead to an IPO of the company as well. The other companies, of course, are represented by the energy and gas distribution companies, and we've seen their stronger financial performance. But given that these are regulated assets, you're not going to see a big volatility in the valuation of these companies. I hope that that covers it. We have a couple of more questions. I did not get the number. Price for volumes contracted by Hidroelectrica are up 30% or 13. But what I was mentioning earlier is that the quantities that were sold in 2020 for 2021, the electricity prices captured by Hidroelectrica were up around 30%. So 30, not 13.
Thanks. And there's another question: Hidroelectrica IPO. So obviously, very hot topic as it has been for a while now. What participation do we expect from Fondo Proprietatea? Are we expecting to reduce the stake in Hidro significantly? And would the cash proceeds be a return to shareholders? Yet to be determined. Obviously, we would like to see Hidroelectrica achieve a good level of free float post IPO. So we will certainly be consulting with the company and the advisors in the process in order to ensure that there is maximum benefit from a potential IPO, and that of course includes the potential for us to potentially liquidate a part of our stake in the IPO. So yes, this is something that we would like to do. It's not something that we can put a number on right now, but certainly we do intend to engage in the process and participate where possible, with the ultimate end goal being that we end up with a list or a market value on a listed entity, which will give us significant flexibility in the portfolio. Any cash proceeds raised from an IPO that comes to Fondo Proprietatea will be utilized in the context of the discount control mechanism. So what we have in place at the moment is the cash distribution policy, so that's dividends or return of capital, or the buyback program accelerated through tender offers. So depending on whatever is possible at the time. We've communicated to shareholders a number of times in the past. We do not intend to hoard cash for any particular reason. The cash will find its way back to shareholders.
Okay, and thank you, Johan. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
Are there any other questions on the phone? We haven't received anything else on Slide Assist.
No, sir. There are currently no further questions over the phone.
Okay. In that case, thank you, Johan. Thank you, Caroline. And thanks again, everyone, for your time today. If there are any additional questions, don't hesitate to reach out to us. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.